Hello again, Gooners. Yep, back again. Another victory, 4-2 versus Leicester. Trying to use headphones today for some reason, they're not working. They make lovely colours, you know, beautiful colours. But why? I can't get them on. I don't know. I'm not a technophobe even. Anyway, I'm going to stop the drums because I know they're echoing all over the place, even though I actually can't hear this as I broadcast. Can I say broadcast? Probably should be able to say that. Anyway, it's probably going to be a quick one. I always say that, and it probably will be this time. Time will not allow. But anyway, Arsenal-Leicester, it was impressive again. There were, in some ways, it wasn't quite as impressive as winning away at Palace. But you know, let's not get too upset about two victories out of two. Doesn't get much better, does it? Anyway, when Leicester arrived, of course, they'd dropped 2 points at home to Brentford. Aside from that, I saw that game. They were okay, not brilliant. They've got problems at Leicester, but they have got a really decent side, and that became apparent pretty early on. I felt Martinelli in particular had a great game from beginning to end. Obviously, it turned into the Gabriel Jesus show, but really Martinelli, he was extraordinary. Caused so much havoc. He made Fofana look like an amateur sometimes. And Fofana's a decent player, so I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way at all. I didn't think Arsenal were dominant in the beginning. That changed, of course, when Jesus spooned the ball over Ward for the opening goal of the game. Ward's in my fantasy team, by the way, so I did say I'd have some fantasy tips along the way. One tip is don't pick two Leicester goalkeepers like I did. It's been a disaster so far. I hardly picked up any points with those two Leicester keepers, but they are cheap. They're only 4 million. So as I said, Arsenal weren't really dominant. I didn't feel until that opening goal. I don't know how he scored it. It made it look so easy. And then Xhaka was, he had a strange game actually, because there he was, he was sort of bombing forward, and I remember Odegaard played a pass out to him and Xhaka couldn't reach it because, yeah, he's running around best he can, but he's so slow. I mean, it's unbelievably slow, which is one of the reasons I've never really been a massive fan. Even though, yes, I know he's decent and I know he's great for team spirit, but I started to think he's like one of the guys at school that used to get picked for the team, and the only reason he got picked was because he was popular. It wasn't because he was any good. I think that strangely enough, that same guy went on to play. He never played first team football, but I think he ended up playing at Palace. Which team he played for, who knows? I've not seen him in any record books, but he claims that he did turn pro. He was pretty tough, though. Some people say like Xhaka. I'm not so sure. Anyway, where were we? So, yeah, the first goal, incredible. Second goal was what you'd expect from Gabriel. We did hear I heard on one of the podcasts that he likes to lurk at the back post, and there he was lurking at the back post. Cross comes in from Martinelli from a corner on the left, and there he is just to nod into an empty net. I don't know what they were playing at Leicester. The defending was, well, on that occasion, it was pretty awful. Ward's not that bad a keeper. No, that's why I picked him in my fantasy team. Anyway, it was unmarked, really. So he was popping up everywhere after that. It seemed like there were about 13 Jesuses on the pitch. Because I thought, how can he be there? But he's also there. And he was just everywhere. He was absolutely everywhere. Never seen anybody playing like that. And then the referee, I forgot his first name, but somebody in England, he awarded a penalty. It was a pretty soft penalty. I didn't think he would change his mind, but he did. Mike Dean in the VAR room recommended that the referee take another look. So there he was at the camera. And on second glance, it really looked like Ramsdale didn't touch Vardy. Vardy was sort of running into the penalty area, and Vardy made a meal of it. He was looking for the penalty. There may have been minimal contact. Anyway, Ramsdale got away with that one. But Ramsdale didn't get away with everything. Of course, in the second half, things didn't work out too well for Ramsdale. Some people might say that about Saliba, but I think Saliba did score an own goal, obviously, which brought it back, brought Leicester back into the game, made it 2-1 in the second half. But he was under a lot of pressure from Vardy. Vardy, he kept him pretty quiet, Vardy, it was very, very difficult. His running, the way Vardy was running, made it very difficult for Saliba to mark him. For the most part, he managed to stick with Vardy. Nearly, I wouldn't say entirely. I think Vardy at times was escaping his attention, but not. He wasn't too far away. So Saliba, made, you know, mostly kept an eye on him. And on this occasion, maybe he needed. It's hard to say. Did Ramsdale call? I don't know. You could criticise Saliba and say, yeah, I think the pundit who was Matthew Upson said that he should have directed his header, angled his header a bit so that it wasn't going to go in the goal if Ramsdale didn't make it. Well, Ramsdale didn't make it, obviously, and he managed to get his hands to it, but that was it, and it was in the back of the net. But Saliba was under severe pressure, and I don't think anybody blamed Saliba for that own goal, although Saliba probably blamed himself. He looked angst-ridden after he did that. It's just, you know, the pain was etched on his face. I felt very sorry for him. But anyway, Vardy weren't really getting much change out of Saliba aside from that goal. So they brought on Daka, and then they brought on another striker, and none of it really fazed Saliba. Saliba just played even better after the own goal. So no worries there. Although I must say, I was a bit worried when I saw how upset he was about conceding, but that's a good thing. But Ramsdale also, we know, gets upset about conceding. He let in another one, which was even worse, in between an Arsenal goal. But Ramsdale, I'll just talk about his goal first, but he was beaten by a near post shot from Maddison, went straight through him. That was quite worrying, to be honest. If he doesn't start stopping those sort of shots, well, I don't want to think about the consequences. But don't want to heap pressure on Ramsdale because he's had a pretty good start to the season. He was all right in the first half. Second half, I don't know what happened to him. He wasn't himself. But he wasn't a bag of nerves or anything. It wasn't like the old days of Fabianski. It wasn't like that. Nowhere near that level. So, in between, there was Arsenal came back. It was, in fact, Xhaka. Xhaka, of all people, scoring a goal. It was a tap-in, really, but still, a goal's a goal. And Xhaka was in their box a lot. And I think if you want a fantasy football tip, I haven't put him in my team because he gets yellow and red cards. But if you want a fantasy football tip, somebody cheap, why not think about Xhaka? Because Xhaka has been playing quite a long way up the field. He's in an advanced position. That's another reason why I've had White in my team as well, because he's playing at right back. On the subject of White, the worrying thing about him is he got injured. We don't know how bad that injury is at this stage. So Tomiyasu came on and looked a bit rusty. Not bad, but rusty. So that's worrying. If you've got White in your fantasy team, you might want to take him out. Didn't think of that. I've already made my transfers. And the other thing is, as I said, Xhaka. Even though I've not put him in my team, it's high risk. The differentials are good, as in not many people have got Xhaka in their team for obvious reasons. But take the risk, you might benefit. He scored, so he picked up a lot of points, and he got an assist. So what do you want out of life? It was a pretty good performance from Xhaka, even though, as I said, he couldn't get on the end of a couple of passes because he lacks pace. Yeah, I suppose you could say, well, maybe it's a fault of the midfielders. They should measure their passes more precisely. And so it was good that Arsenal came back so quickly. Every time the deficit was reduced, they came bouncing back. And then the second time the deficit got reduced, it was Martinelli. What a goal that was. And put Leicester in their place, really. But I think Leicester are a decent side. Not expecting them to go down, but they've got to do something. There's something obviously not right, but they've got such good players. So everybody's going to want to buy their players, although you have to say, even though it was quite funny actually listening to the commentary, because Tielemans had gone off. I'm pretty sure Tielemans went off. I could have sworn I saw him go off. And Matthew Upson was saying, Tielemans got a touch to this, and Tielemans did this, and Tielemans did that. I'll check later. But as far as I knew, he was off the pitch. And yet, there he was. In Matthew Upson's eyes, there he was on the pitch rather than off it. So he didn't have a good game, Tielemans. So based on that, Arsenal would not be advised to sign him. Partey had a strange game, broke up the play really well, didn't always pass very well. But overall, I was quite impressed with his performance. As I've said before, Martinelli probably stole the show, as did Jesus, of course. Odegaard had a better second half than first. Saka just worked hard, really, not his normal self, but nothing to worry about. On the left, he was just incredible. Zinchenko, what a great game he had. It was a masterclass, really. He was even better than he was at Palace. That's how good he was. Some of his tricks. But he always knows when to release the ball. So to give Matty Upson some credit there, that's what he said. And I totally agree with that. Matt Upson is... I've never met him, but I've seen him in a press conference. He's very articulate. And you can see why the media like him. But you better just... I'm going to check it too. But you better check whether Tielemans is on the pitch before he starts crediting him with deflections and all sorts of other things. So that's going to be about it, I think. I'll keep it short and sweet and let you get on with the rest of your lives. And don't forget, if you want to even appear on the show, do let me know. I haven't heard from Fizzy lately, but no doubt he'll return in the not too distant future. So until the next time, adios, amigos.